guys. DJS, happy Wednesday. A few minutes past 2 p.m. About a month ago, I guess, I was listening to another radio station on my drive home, and they had a package about the chaplain service at Lambert Airport, which I didn't know that we had. And so we reached out, and we have the president of the St. Louis Airport Interfaith Chaplaincy, Roderick Burton. He is also the senior pastor at New Northside Missionary Baptist Church in St. Louis. He's an author. He is a columnist and a good all-around St. Louis guy. So very nice to meet you.
Thank you. Thank you for letting me be on here.
First of all, tell us your story. Just introduce yourself to the KMOX audience.
So I am from St. Louis, born in Deaconess Hospital, graduated from Lafayette High School, married my wife, Carlotta, another St. Louis, and we went to Luther North, and ended up going to Covenant Seminary and ended up being a pastor.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's kind of it in a nutshell.
Did you, believe it or not, I was going to be a minister at one point. I was going to leave college and go to a Bible college down in Springfield, Missouri. And then I got a call from God saying, don't do that. So did you get a call? I'm always fascinated by that.
Yeah, you know, I got a call, but it wasn't specific about being a pastor. And even when I graduated from Covenant, I just thought maybe I'd teach at a, you know, a parochial school. And I kind of got dragged into it, you know. So, like, one day this guy was preaching. He's like, and why not you? And then I end up applying, end up being an interim, and then end up being the pastor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell us about the church, first of all.
So, New Northside Missionary Baptist Church, first African-American church west of Kings Highway, 124 years old. Congregation is predominantly African-American, but just lately we've had some diversity, which is pretty cool. And we got about 500 members.
Nice.
And, you know, we try to just do the Lord's work and share the good news.
Yeah. And you were sharing with us off the air sad news that in your career, senior pastor, you just lost your 8th prisoner.
Yes. And so that has been pretty devastating. The first of the 8 was the Dent brothers in September, right after a month after Michael Brown. And so it's just been pretty tragic to have that go on. And so we've really been big in public safety, you know, because we've had also different issues around the church and the area. There was a big shootout at our conference center years ago that a lot of cops knew about. But so I mean, it's St. Louis, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's just a ministry that we're in, and we try to do the best we can and help and walk with people.
So I'm born and bred here as well, grew up on the east side, been over here for, God, 30 years, 40 years, something like that. And year after year after year, you see the city struggle with how do we help North City, North County. Well, there's no one better to talk to. What do you think? What can we do to help the people out?
Well, I think one of the first things that's been really good is that they have an initiative now, Save Lives Now, which is a regional initiative. Finally, everybody in the region got their mind around, we got to do this as a team. And so that's a great thing that's going on. I think also pouring resources and redeveloping North County so that you don't have a bucket of a failed state in the midst of development. You know, so you think about like Somalia and you got all these other countries, you got a failed state and there's all this trouble coming out there. So you can't just allow one segment of our area to just be completely collapsed, you know. And so to try to lift it up with everyone else, I think that makes a difference.
Yeah. I know that no group of people are monolithic, but the people who go to your church, the people that live in that area, tell me about them.
So we have a mix of some people from the neighborhood. We have a lot of people from North St. Louis who lived in the neighborhood around the church but moved. Lately, we've been having some Latinos. We've had some Venezuelans come. And the church got desegregated some years ago, and so we do have a few white folks. So we have a mix, and it's pretty good. We're happy about it.
I would love to come to your church.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
The white agnostic boy comes walking in there.
You have a good time. We got some good musicians.
There you go. That's all I need to hear. So tell us about, like, we didn't know, and you said you didn't know until you were recruited, that there's a chaplaincy at Lambert Airport. What is it? What do you guys do?
Yeah, so I was part of Interfaith Partnership of St. Louis, and at one of the sessions, the former president, Deacon Jim Martin, came and said, hey, come check out the airport chaplaincy. I'm like, airport chaplaincy? So I went up there, and he showed me what the airport chaplaincy does, and the Catholics, thanks to the Catholic Church, tradition of chaplaincies, hospital, prison, Airports comes out of the Catholic tradition. Of course, airports is new to aviation. And so what the airport chaplaincy does is, yeah, we're there to support. Everybody who's traveling is not for good reasons. Some people, they're going to a funeral, they got someone ill. Some people are just terrified and being in a plane. And so we maintain our chapels there, but then also we're there for the employees. And then also, by default, we're the kind of the social service net.
Yeah.
Because we have a lot of unhoused people. You know, the Metrolink stops there. We've had to deal with people got trafficked, people who, because of the current immigration status, we had a young man who wanted to turn himself in, self-deport. We've had people whom, you know, they came to St. Louis and they got that St. Louis hospitality and they get stranded. Last Easter, we had a woman who was traveling to Colorado for her son's funeral. She got kicked off Southwest. And so we put her on a bus. So she could get there. So different issues that happen.
That's really a catch-all.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Wear a lot of hats.
Yeah. Yeah.
So basically it's just, you're just helping human beings. All the weird human things that happen at an airport.
Yeah, exactly. In that context. So like we also, the USO is there. We have a fantastic USO because of McDonnell Douglas. And so sometimes the soldiers, I remember one time I got called out in the middle of the night, this soldier found out her grandmother passed.
Mm.
And so to come up there and pray with her and walk with that. And then you got sometimes you have travelers. We had a couple people die right at the gate. And yeah. And so, you know, it's just being there and being present for the airport community.
What are your favorite parts of the job? Least favorite parts of the job? What's good? What's bad?
So my favorite parts are, I was just up there yesterday and just some people walked up and they're like, where is such and such? Or, you know, like, I don't know what to do. And being able to walk in, I'm like, okay, hey, let's go to Frontier and let's get you get checked out. It's kind of solving problems in that context was pretty awesome. My least favorite parts are also like when you there's just limited what I can do. You know what I mean? Like somebody's up there, they're stranded. We're calling, trying to get them somewhere, someone to stay, and you just can't help them.
Mm-hmm.
So,
is there always a chaplain on duty?
No, because we're all volunteer.
Oh.
And so based on people's availability, but there's always a way to contact us. So 24 hours a day, we can be reached and we can send someone up there.
Mm-hmm.
So we have people on call every week.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And interfaith?
Yeah.
No faith, I'm assuming, like just anybody who needs help?
Absolutely. We help anybody who's in need at the airport to the best of our ability within our resources. Now, sometimes somebody may get stranded and for them to go somewhere, it's, you know, $800 or $900. We don't have that.
Sure.
You know what I mean? But we try to do the best that we can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you guys have any sort of funding source, like a charitable source where people can help out and give you that $900 if someone needs it?
Sure. No, what's great is, so our biggest need is we have an emergency travelers fund, and you can go to our website, stlouischaplains.org.
We'll find it.
But anyways, so before, our support was when people would come for services, we used to have a Catholic mass on Saturday nights and people would come and just donations and people coming through.
Yeah.
But after COVID, that really dried up.
Yeah.
But our needs still started taking off. So anyways, whatever help people can do, everything goes towards aid and assisting travelers or employees in crisis.
We should do something to help out. We should have some sort of a fundraiser or something. We'll talk to you about it off the air.
That'd be great.
Yeah, we have a great, very generous audience, raise a lot of money for different charities, and this seems like a great one.
No, St. Louis has a very awesome philanthropic
community. Yes, we do.
Yeah.
Yeah, we really do.
Reverend Burton, can you tell us a little bit about the clergy advisory board you're on for the city of St. Louis in relation to public health?
Yes, so during the pandemic, the health department put together a clergy advisory board. And so that was really active during COVID. It's kind of scaled down.
Mm.
But I was part of that, you know, kind of helping them, advise them as they thought about how do we get the word out? Because a lot of times churches are the original social service organizations. And especially in the African-American church, you can touch a lot of people. And then I'm also on another advisory board for that Save Lives Now. So to make sure that the St. Louis clergy community has a voice. And a lot of times when people make these big moves, what about what the clergy have to say about it? Because we do have a perspective, and it's good sometimes. They may not necessarily take what we have to say, but to be in the room, it's good.
Yeah, and speaking of the pandemic, I know a lot of churches offered digital Zoom services during the pandemic. And I was looking at your church's website. It looks like you still offer Zoom for folks who can't make it out. What has that been like for you? Has that just been really positive as far as expanding your reach?
So actually, if you're going to be relevant as a church post-pandemic, you have to be virtual and you have to be in person. That's just the going thing now. And so we do touch people who can't come to church, who can't make it, as well as, you know, people who just tune in. And then also, you know, let's say you got to work on a Sunday. You could still be part of the service. But what we had to do is, hey, look, we had to upgrade stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We had to put more resources into that. And a lot of churches that have not done that, that are not online, they're just not really there. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the reality now.
Yeah. Yeah, with people watching us right now, I was against it. You know, I mean, radio's radio, theater of the mind, but you got to keep moving with the times. We'll talk off the air, and we will we'll help you raise some money.
Oh, we really appreciate it.
Yeah. All right. Really pleasure to meet you.
Thank you so much for having us on. God bless y'all.
GS 220. Do we ever figure out if I can turn my mic off or not? Let me try.
It's working.
All right, good.
There you go.
Good. Still have a little gunk going on. I've been coughing, and when I hit the off button, my light stayed on, so I was afraid I was just coughing into a live mic. Didn't want to be annoying, so there you go. For those of you who were with us at the start of the show when we talked about this ICE shooting in Minneapolis, where this lady, who I believe is a U.S. citizen.
That's what the reports say.
Was in a minivan on a suburban street. I think you can actually hear the ICE agent say something like, "We want to talk to you," or something like that. And you can watch the video yourself. And there are more than one view now. And the lady backs up like you do when you're going to pull out. And then she pulls out. And you can see her hit one of the agents.
Yeah.
Her front.
From the front camera view.
Yes. From the front camera view, her front left bumper hits the agent. And as she continues driving, the agents fire at her, hit her in the head, kill her, and she crashes into another car.
Yeah.
And I'm not online, but Wheels is. And you say it's pretty much the Rorschach.
Boy, I mean, it is an alignment test, because you're going to get two. So if you just look at the reactions to it, there are a lot of people, let's just say left and right versus MAGA, liberal, whatever. It's left reaction is murder. She was just trying to pull out, didn't hit the cop, whatever. And then the right side is totally justified. This is okay. And it's like, This is the video is very clear that there is contact. What will need to be sorted out is, you know, at what point is there a danger? Was it worth putting this person in this situation? Did you have probable cause to stop them? Did they actually break the law before you were trying to stop them? Telling someone to stop. Keep in mind, these are not Minneapolis police officers, state troopers. It's ICE. What authority do they have to stop someone? I don't know. These are all I'm asking the question of. What is their purview? What are they allowed to do? Do I have to? If an ICE agent says to me, "You have to stop," do I have to?
That's a good question.
I honestly don't know.
I don't either.
Because I don't know. I know this, that any other police officer pulls me over, stops me, has to have a reason to. Now, this person was apparently a protester of some kind, right?
That's what I'm reading.
They're calling each other was it Christy Noem? I don't know if it was her, but somebody on that side of it was saying that she's a domestic terrorist. And then the side on the left is like, this was just an observer. And I'm like, obviously the truth isn't somewhere in that middle, because there's more than just a little bit going on here.
So the smart thing for me to do would be give no opinion. And I will give a limited opinion since
until we get more facts,
all I've seen is that video.
Yeah.
Whether she was a protester or not, whether she was a rioter or not, those things don't really matter to me. But I do support law enforcement.
Yep.
And if law enforcement, I mean, I grew up in South Roxana, the son of Jack Glover. So if law enforcement tells me to stop, I stop.
And I do too, because I don't need to worry about it.
Those are valid questions.
Right.
But if law enforcement told her to stop and she didn't, and in trying to leave whatever scene it was, she hits a law enforcement officer, then I believe, from my limited understanding, they have the right to use deadly force because a car is a deadly weapon. So that's probably, if I had to guess, the way it will play out legally. How it plays out in the court of public opinion is anyone's guess.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, I've seen plenty of videos over the years of police chases and a car gets cornered and they keep backing into the vehicle, moving forward, and clearly putting officers in danger. And I've seen many of those cases where the person is never shot.
Yeah.
So legally, I have no idea what
this is.
I've
seen a few where they were.
Yeah, yeah. And again, maybe, and if the law says that if you are contacted by a vehicle trying to get away and that constitutes a threat to your life, then that's what the law says.
Go ahead, Rich.
Yeah, I'm trying to see. Of course, I click out of it and then I can't find it again. But this latest video that you guys were talking about, I mean, it appears to me she's being approached by ICE. She is clearly like blocking the road, doing something, and they're either telling her to get out of the way. Then an agent rushes up to the car and tries to open the car door. This is not the agent that gets hit.
That's correct. It's another one in front of the car.
That kind of comes around as she's pulling away. He steps in front of the car, and it seems as though his weapon is already drawn. And as soon as she does tap or, you know, hit him and starts to go forward, he's ready to shoot in that moment. I mean, that does, I think, should come into play into considering the entire situation. Yeah.
And there will be more videos, I'm assuming, you know, I hopefully some of the officers had body cams. I know we had the story earlier. They don't all have them because they don't have the numbers to cover him. Hopefully somebody does. And you can get another viewpoint of it. Maybe some more audio that'll come out of it, too, that'll let us hear what's being said. Mm-hmm. And then what I really want to see happen is I want the law to be followed. If the law says she created a threat to an officer's life, then that's the definition, and we need to go by that. We can't let the political slant influence what we see, because what I see is pretty clear. If I didn't know anything about that incident at all, if I didn't know that that was ICE, if that was just a local police department, if it was non-political, it was just, hey, we wanted to stop this person and they didn't want to stop, I would see a car making contact with a police officer. That's what we see. So what I hope happens is we just do an investigation and follow the law.
Yeah.
Find more evidence, and wherever the evidence goes, that's what the determination is, without trying to make it a political issue. Because at its core, it might have started with that, a political protest of some kind. But the incident itself should be defined by the actions and the video, and not just by what we all want to see based on political leaning.
Couldn't agree
I
more.
I feel like ICE is the ones making it super political, though.
Oh, no, no.
I mean, they're the one assigning like full domestic terrorism intent behind her slowly moving the car. I mean, that's very odd to me to like immediately in your statement come out and say this was an act of domestic terrorism.
Yeah.
They're the ones who are going there. It's the Mormons knocking on your door, and then when you answer it, they shoot you and go, whoa, you scared me.
But if the Mormon knocks on your door, you can't punch him.
Right.
Right? So even
I don't think this woman intentionally hit this ICE officer with her car. That from the footage that I have viewed, it does not look to me like I'm in a rage and I can't wait to hit someone with my car. It looks like she's just trying to pull away from them.
Yeah.
So to call that an act of domestic terrorism.
And I also think if the Mormon knocked on my door and I punched the Mormon in the face, the Mormon can't shoot me in the temple. I don't think that's how that works.
No, I'm look, the problem here is that
our Mormon listeners are like, oh, for the love of God.
No offense to my Mormon friends out there.
Never the Methodist.
The problem is that there are, and I've seen this from even some politicians that are Democrats, already trying to exonerate the person. We can't do any of those things now. We can see the video. We can listen to what audio comes out. And then we just have to be patient enough to wait to hear what the whole thing is before we decide. And the domestic terrorism thing is nonsense. But we have to decide. We can't decide if this person is justified or not until we know all of it.
I said it before, but if we were sending Voyager up today, I was going to use, like, here's what a guitar is. Fender Telecaster. Here's what a motorcycle is. Triumph. And here's what rock and roll is. Foreigner. There are bands I like better. Foreigner's rock and roll. Prove me wrong. Thank you.
That's what they do.
Want to do some DGS happy hour?
Certainly.
Anyone got anything dialed up? Otherwise, I didn't go.
I got one that applies to all of us.
All right.
That we probably can. This I will say this may disturb you, just so you're clear. Do you want to know about the fast foods that have the most toxic plastics in them?
Why not?
You're out of your mind if you think that's going to bother me.
I'm not saying it. Well, maybe it will, maybe it won't.
Oh, by the way, parenthetically, before you kick off, Chris and Amy were doing most popular fast foods across the nation. And I think the one with the most states was Wendy's. And Amy was beside herself. She didn't know that anyone liked Wendy's.
Oh, no, Wendy's is very good. It's a regular in my rotation.
There are like animals whose opinions on fast food I care more about than Amy's.
She doesn't eat much fast food.
Good point.
There is not a human being alive.
Like, it's like asking our opinion on running shoes.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
There is not a human being alive whose opinion I care less about than Amy's when it comes to fast food.
Yeah, it's just lack of experience, right? Amy doesn't eat fast food, so it's hard to do that.
She doesn't know Wendy's, and I don't know.
Right. She doesn't know the sweet tiger.
Yeah, she doesn't understand. And that's fine. She doesn't have to understand it, but like your opinions just mean nothing. They're just less than nothing.
All right, so the story on this is about plastic-related chemicals, so chemicals that are used to soften plastic or to have various effects in the production of plastic are leaching into fast food. These things do have, according to the Newsweek story that reported on this, they do have the ability to cause harm in human beings. Obviously it's all about the amount that you put in, but there are negative impacts of these chemicals. So these are the items that have the most of these chemicals, according to the Newsweek story that cited an industry watchdog. The number one that has the most is the Taco Bell Cantina Chicken Burrito.
That has
the most of these. I think they're called, phthalates,
but it's Cantina Fresh.
It's Cantina Fresh. Number two on the list is going to impact a lot of people.
Okay.
The Quarter Pounder at McDonald's. That's one of the most common. And number three, by the way, Whopper with cheese. So
let me ask you a scientific
question. What about the Whopper without cheese?
Science question.
Yeah.
Does adding French fries to your order help?
Helps balance out the percentage.
I think it's also the ketchup and mustard help.
So in my experience,
kills plastic.
In my experience, you get the 32-ounce high C orange that kind of flushes the system, right? So you put the bad stuff in, then you flush it out with the high C orange. And you're all better and boost your immune system while you're at it.
It is high C.
We're going all RFK. Like just get some orange Kool-Aid. You'll be fine. The Burger King chicken nuggets on the list. Wendy's burgers on the list. And the one that was, I don't know why this was more surprising. Maybe it shouldn't be. The Shake Shack cheeseburgers and their vanilla shakes for some reason. But what's interesting is that the people who are studying this are noting these chemicals are known to have negative impacts on the human body, but they're not being banned. They're not being really monitored or regulated at this point.
Do you guys feel like we are underreacting to all these microplastic things?
I don't know.
Yeah,
it's a really good question.
I feel like we have no choice but to underreact because we have no control over it. Like, I didn't ask
everywhere
to have a credit card's worth of plastic in my brain.
Right.
No choice. I didn't know it was a thing until it was already in my brain. Okay,
yeah.
That's the way I'll put it. I think we're all on the same page, but it's like, what are we going to do? Like, what are we supposed to do? Just as an average person.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, demand change. That always works. The people in charge love listening to us and doing the right thing for us.
Yeah, just figured people would want to know, and then you can make your choices accordingly.
I feel like it's, I don't know when smoking was first outed, maybe in the 40s or 50s, as being bad for you. But I'm sure that there was a pretty good lag time where not only did a lot of smokers not care, but they kind of didn't really believe it. Like, okay, whatever. I survived World War II.
Right, I'm
going to survive tobacco. And it just kind of feels like our tobacco.
I mean, I guess, but the thing is, you still make the choice to smoke tobacco. I'm not saying those people, before they knew about the negative health effects, like deserved it or something.
Right,
I'm just saying they were making a choice. Like, that was a lifestyle choice they made. I'm not making I mean, okay, sure, I eat fast food every once in a while, you know.
But it's also non-fast food. It's also it's like tap water.
You are going to have microplastics in your body no matter what you do. There's no person out there listening who is like pure as the driven snow and free of microplastics.
Yeah. And a lot of people didn't like choose to go to any of the wars. A lot of them got drafted and that sort of thing. But you did know when you're going to war, like, ooh, this could turn bad. This was just one of those things where we're just living our life as normal, and then one day they're like, oh, by the way, you've all got like 6 G.I. Joes worth of plastics in you, and
oops,
there's no way to ever get them out.
Sorry.
Are they poison? Could be. We don't really know.
Maybe one of these days when we're cremated, it'll leave the plastic behind and we can have it molded into the G.I. Joe or something.
Nice.
Here's your dad.
I love that.
Speaking of food, Andrew, you have this on the list that RFK has given us a whole new food pyramid.
He has basically, as I understand it, he has taken the food pyramid as we know it and completely flipped it upside down.
That's my understanding.
So now the most important thing to eat is steak. I'm guessing well done with ketchup, because that's their way. But yeah, it's the most important thing to have is like your proteins, your meats, that sort of thing. And then actually the very bottom of it is going to be like your fruits, your grains.
Yeah.
That sort of thing.
Yeah. I'm looking at it now. The bottom is like, is all the grains, bread, rice, things like that. The middle, like as you move up, the next thing up are things like fruits, butter, eggs, things like that. And then at the very top, it's like chicken, steak, cheese, broccoli, carrots, things like that.
See, here's the thing. I don't have Trump derangement syndrome, but I might have a touch of RFK derangement syndrome. Because he could come up with a cure for cancer, and I'd be like, aren't you the guy whose hobbies are cutting off the heads of whales and sexting with reporters? Like, what do you have to tell me about what, you know, we've gone from 72 vaccines to 11 for children, and now the food pyramid's literally, like Andrew said, it's just turned upside down. Like, I could accept any of these things if the people telling me were smart, accomplished, and
or
had
maybe a doctor.
They're in the medical field.
Also,
wait, 1 second. By the same token, if a doctor wants to tell me about the military, I'll talk to a military person.
And if the military wants
to talk to me about baseball, I'll talk to a baseball guy.
Also, you know, when he tells you what this cure for cancer is, it's going to be like eating a cigar whole. Like, it's not going to be something where you're like, oh, yeah, okay. That seems like that could work.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that, and maybe this is just not made clear enough, because I'm looking at the upside down pyramid the way that it's put, and it doesn't offer the details that the old pyramid does. In other words, how many servings you should be having per week or per day of these things.
Although, do you think anyone really followed that much?
No, I mean,
maybe hospitals.
And I also wonder if it was, I don't know this very well, so this is just me wondering out loud because I haven't looked into it. Was that suggested as the, quote, right way to do it, or maybe the easiest way to eat well for people that are on a budget? Because grains and things like that are less expensive. Pastas, breads, rice, those things are amongst the cheapest things that people can eat.
Well, I think when they created the original food pyramid was when they still thought smoking was okay. So I'm not sure you know, it probably needed some updating.
I'm honestly, you know, what we know about diet now is much more complex than either a regular pyramid or an upside down pyramid, right?
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of it is about your own genetics. And what are you more prone to? What do you need more of? What are you doing? Are you lifting a lot of weights? If you're lifting a lot of weights, you need a lot more protein. If you're not, maybe you don't need as much protein. You know, I mean, like, everybody's lifestyle changes what those pyramids are to a degree.
Fun fact, I need none. turns out laying on your couch.
Well, Brian brings up a great point. He says that Diet Coke cancels out the plastics.
Oh, well, there you go.
So that I think is something we know. Oh,
thank God.
The plastics for you.
I'm okay, everyone. I'm okay then.
Artificial sweetener is actually what cancels out the microplastics.
It's actually steak, broccoli, healthy fats, and Diet Coke.
Anybody listening, that's a joke. We're not serious.
The current foundation of the pyramid.
I have another food story for the happy hour if you're ready for it. I actually feel really bad for Cracker Barrel at this point because they tried to do something and just everybody said, we hate you. Stay the same. You're not allowed to change.
But one second. Wasn't that a crazy ass thing we went through at Cracker Barrel?
The dumbest.
Just the.
Well, the latest pushback they have gotten is, you know, they've removed some of these classic menu items and they're like, you're going to love the new menu, guys. Stick with us. Come on. Trust us. People got so mad that they're like, you know what? We're going to keep these old menu items. You're right. We're going back on it. So they are bringing back the hamburger steak and the eggs in the basket. They are returning by popular demand.
The hamburger steak, you said.
Hamburger steak sounds good to me.
I would jump out that window for a hamburger steak from Cracker Barrel now. I don't know why
Is it just a hamburger?
It's just a hamburger in the shape of a steak, but it's something good. About the description made it sound so good. I was like, I have to have this.
I have to have this right now. I grew up going to Bonanza up in Alton, and they had the, did they call it a chop steak? Anyway, it was just a big burger.
Right.
Mm, same thing.
That was my first entree into...
It's the same idea.
Yeah.
Like a cube steak.
They'll say it's like, well, it's hamburger, but it's cooked like a steak. No, it's just a big burger. It's just a big burger. Give it to me. I want it. He's gonna teach you a lesson.
Don't let me say it again. Stream, people are talking about Salisbury steak, which I believe is a fancy name for what in South Arxana we called round steak.
Yeah.
And my dad used to buy a half a cow at a place in Edwardsville right next to the Wilding, and we would fill the freezer with meat. And so we ate pretty good, you know, because you'd get a half a cow, so you got everything. And you knew that it was almost gone when they would tell me to go downstairs and get a couple of round steaks.
Bottom of the barrel.
Bottom of the barrel. Just awful. And I think you typically have to like drown them in gravy and beat the hell out of them and cook them to death. Mm-hmm. And my mom just cooked them like they were ribeye.
You really got to pound them.
Easy.
But having half a cow is magical. I have a really good
not
friend
for the
of
cow.
Mine. Maybe not for the cow. We don't know.
Not for the half you got.
I never asked. But I one of my really good friends in high school, his family owned cows, and you know, they'd send them off and they would take about a quarter of the cow and sell the rest.
Yeah.
And like him showing me that deep freeze that just had
Yeah.
I was in awe.
Today is National Pass Gas Day.
Woo! Taken care of.
Yeah.
What's interesting about it is that evidently Gen Alpha does not find fart humor funny.
I don't find them funny, so.
They say
The skibbity toilet generation?
Yes!
I'm confused.
What's he doing in that toilet then?
The dummies that are walking around like 6'7".
Yeah, they say that it's a natural process of the human body, and they have no idea why older people find it so funny.
That's just because
it sounds funny.
That's just because they're farting all the time and they're embarrassed about it, and they're like, it's a normal thing to have. No, it's not. Well, it is, but it's funny. It's okay to laugh at it.
Dave, did you see this? This is from December in the New York Post. I'm sorry, but this is what the headline says. It says sniffing farts can boost brain power and fend off Alzheimer's.
Your own farts, or
it says your own.
I hope so.
I mean, either way, I'm set for life.
This is from research at Johns Hopkins.
Who's doing that research?
I don't know. But it's
some guy who got caught sniffing his own farts. Yeah. You know, I think there's some medical merit behind this, actually.
We got a bunch of freaks at Johns Hopkins.
It says that, in quote, could protect aging brain cells from cognitive decline.
guy coming out of his bedroom for the first time in 6 years, like, I got an idea for a study.
I mean,
yeah, if it's someone else's farts, like, how do
may
you
not even,
even
be worth it?
Well, how
no,
do you
right,
even
right,
put
right.
that into?
Yeah, give
practice.
Me the Alzheimer's.
I mean, this definitely says your own.
I'm really sorry to hear about what happened.
I'm assuming
to your
it's not.
You know, if you sniffed a lot
own.
Of people's farts before the disease.
Funny.
Well, just so you know, your brain's going to be better if you fart.
But see, that's my problem. I don't.
You should try it. It rocks.
I used to.
Really feels good.
I used to fart.
I used to fart.
It just stopped.
Like we got Austin on the stream, says with the research group, the Jackass crew. Hi, I'm Johnny Knoxville. We're studying farts.
Johnny Knoxville, this is the cure for cancer.
2026 will be my 10th year on the Dave Glover Show. I have only heard Dave fart one time.
There you go.
And it was in year one.
Yeah.
And you farted, you were like, hee hee.
That's
and
back
like,
when I
that
farted.
Was it. That was it.
I'm not going to lie, I miss it.
Never happened again.
I miss it.
Do you not eat?
I do, and I eat poorly. I'm not sure what it is.
Maybe it all happens when you're sleeping or something.
That could be. I might be foul. Who knows? How much time we got here, Rach?
1 minute.
You want to hear the hottest items at the Consumer Electronics Show?
Sure.
Gaming headphones that read your mind, so you don't have to push buttons at all. You just want to blow this guy up and you blow him up.
Dude, I want that so bad.
Color-changing fingernails. A company called iPolish is behind them. Press-on nails that change colors are the special device that you have to buy. Lollipops that play music in your head.
Lollipops.
I kind of like lollipops.
I do too.
Although, I don't know, maybe it sounds terrible.
If you got real drunk on suckers,
you know,
I just lollipops.
I don't think I need those that controller. That's like the only exercise I get. Pushing I don't think if I have my brain take over, I don't think I'm going to make it.
And a toilet that calls for help. It's called Vovo, and it's a smart toilet for seniors. And if it's not flushed in 8 hours, it alerts the family.
Okay.
Oh, that nobody's been using it.
I thought it meant like when a certain user starts walking up to the toilet, it's like, help! No! I can't do this again.
You said you'd stop eating the refried beans.
This guy's never going to get all
You said you wouldn't go to Golden Corral anymore. You promised.